We're starting with Hilchos Basa v'Cholov, which is an appropriate place to start, although not the only place to start, for reasons which will become apparent. So Nafkuf Tetzvav Amid Beis, the Gemara is looking for a source about Basa v'Cholov. The Basa v'Cholov, as we know, many of us are familiar with from Chumash and Rashi. As a matter of fact, we just read it 10 days ago in the Chumash and Rashi in Parshas Re'eh for the third time. Rashi comments at the same thing every single time. Now, I expect the Talmidim, sorry, day one also introductory, every Talmud has to learn Shnai Mikra, the Echad Targum. I expect it, Shulchan Aruch expects. But I tell you that if you can't do Targum, as we don't know Aramaic too well, I prefer Shnai Mikra V'Echad Rashi. I don't give bechinas on every week, as some of the masminim receive, but it's an expectation. Talmud should come out of the shiur knowing, not for me, from on your own, Chumash and Rashi. My father, Zechron of Rocha, would always tell us Chumash and Rashi. You have to know Chumash and Rashi. We'd ask, what does Rashi say? Chumash. So I assume you all learned Chumash and Rashi parshas for A. Lo savashel gedi b'chalev imo. Rashi comments, it's found three times. Found in Parshas Mishpatim, found in Parshas Kisisa, and found in Parshas Re'eh. And why is it found three times? Rashi says two different things in two different places. One in Re'eh, one in Kisisa, and in Mishpatim he says both. Let's take a look here in that Kuf Tetzav Amid Beis, what the Gemara says. Dever Rabbi Shmuel Tana, about the third of the way down the page. Lo savashel gedi b'chalev imo. Gimel pamim, echad liisur achila, v'echad liisur ana, v'echad liisur bishul. It's a world famous gemara. We derive from here that there are three separate yisur with respect to basa b'chalav. You may not eat it, you may not get benefit from it, and you may not cook it. Is it clear about that? It's our opening halachic statement of the year. It's right here. Before we can go any further, I think it's appropriate that I bring you another source which starts just two lines earlier, precisely because it's Parshas Shavuot of last week, and we'll come back to it a little bit later. This is a little known source. Someone, no one even heard of this one. Dvei Rabbi Eliezer or Elazar, different Girsos, Tana. Right, two lines above. Lo Sochlu Kol Nevela. One of the milas of this beautiful Gemara is that on the side in the Torah Or HaShem, it tells you the whole Pasuk, even gives you the dots. So you shouldn't be read the words wrong. Let's read it together on the side. If you don't have this Gemara, you have to get it, to know it as a Balkari. Anyone a Balkari in this room? Who's a Balkari? We have three Balkaris, four Balkaris. We're going to count on you when it's not in the Torah or HaShalom. Lo soch lo kol nevela. What's nevela mean? What's a nevela? What's a nevela? What does the word mean? Anybody? What does the word nevela mean? An animal what? Was died without shechita. Without shechita. You may not eat nevela. Even if it's from a kosher species. You cannot eat chazer. How do we refer to chazer? What's the official? In Yiddish, everything which you can't eat is called what? Yiddish. Treif. Everything is treif. Treif, treif. What does the word treifa mean? Anyone know what the word treifa means? What does the word treifa literally mean? Yeah?
An animal that couldn't live.
Right. It was literally It was devoured by an animal, by a wild animal. Taraf Yosef, right? It was clawed by a lion, and it killed it, and it made a hole in its lungs or something like that, and it can't survive for 12 months. That's treif. We're not looking at those treifas this year. So in Yiddish, everything is treif. But treif is a halachic category, but there are at least two others, which we have to speak about immediately. What is nevela? Which means what? No, the animal wasn't clawed by a lion. The animal either died a natural death, or was slaughtered in a non-Jewish slaughterhouse without kosher shechita. That's called nevela. The Torah says lo soch lo kol nevela. It also says ubasa basoda treifa lo sochelu. That's back in Parshas Mishpatim. That's actually found over here as well. If you look in the last Torah Hashalim, ubasa basoda treifa lo sochelu like kelef tashlicha nosa. Okay, here it says lo soch lo kol nevela la gera she b'sharecha titnena v'achola o mocho lenachri. You can sell it to a guy. Ki am korosh atol Hashem alokecha lo sevashal gedi v'chalei v'imo. Fine. We learn these two psukim, two parts of the pasuk, as a total disconnect. Isur nevela, and it's an isur of lo sevashal gedi v'chalei v'imo. So the Gemara, Rabbi Levi says a different drush. What does he say? Omra Torah kishetim karena, when you sell it to a nachri, lo sevashlena v'sim karena. Two separate parts. Lo sevashal gedi v'chalei v'imo. And then Mochel Anachri. That's a juxtaposition which other Tanarim don't have, but he does. It says Mochel Anachri and the condition of this Nevela. That's how the Rebbe Lezer understands. With me so far? How do we refer to an animal that's a non-kosher species? It's not a trefa. Correct. It's called a Tameya. That's what I asked you to see in the Mar Makomas. That's called a Tameya. Tamea, you know, in our world means ritual impurity, which we don't have nowadays, basically. But no, in our context, the word Tamea means a non-kosher species. Take a look over here, if you will. The Mishnah, Kuf Yud Gimel Amad Aleph, right, the very beginning, of towards the beginning, of the, well, down the line of the Marav Makomis. The last Mishnah, B'sar Behema Tahora, B'chalav Behema Tahora, Osu Levashel V'Osur Ba'ano. You may not cook it, and you may not have enough of it. But besar behema tahora, bachalav behema tumeya, or besar behema tumeya, bachalav behema tahora, mutar levashel, u'mutar bahana. Obviously you can't eat it. Why can't you eat it? Because it's tame. It's pig's milk or pig's meat. You can't eat it. But paradoxically, because of its major chesaron, that it's tame, one or both of the milk and the meat respectively, you therefore, there's no iser official, nor is there an Easter of Hano. That's what the Gemara explains. There's no Easter, there's neither Easter of Bishul, nor an Easter of Hano. Once we're on the topic, Rabbi Kiva Omer, Chaya v'Of, Einam min HaTorah, Shenemar, Losavashel Gedim B'Chalevimu Gimel Pahamim. Oh! First we derive from the word Losavashel three times. Bishul, Achila, Hano. Now we derive from the word gedi three times. Prat, to exclude. Chaya, oaf, and behema temeo. All three are excluded. What's a chaya? What is, translate the word chaya. What's a chaya? A wild animal. The name is a domesticated animal. What is an oaf? A bird, fowl, chicken. And behemoth tamei, we know, a pig or the like, a non-kosher species. Okay? This is what the Mishnah teaches us. Any questions so far? By the way, if you have questions, you can always raise your hand. I'll try to recognize you when I finish my thought. Any questions so far? Okay. So we're just beginning of the beginning. Narabosai. We have to understand that there's a linkage between the Isra of Bishul and the Isra of Achila of Basa B'chol. The two are linked very, very intrinsically. And to see this linkage, we must see the Gemara on Daf Kuf Ches Amud Aleph. Omar Abaye, right after the Mishnah. We're not going to learn the Mishnah right now. Tamo velo mamosho bi alma doraisa. Whoa. What does that mean? What do the words mean? Take a look at Rashi. Rashi is the best Rebbe. If you didn't know yet, now you know. Rashi is the best Rebbe. Rashi, the first Rashi where it says Gemara, towards the end of the narrow lines, and Kuf Ches Amud Aleph. Read together. Omer Abaye, Tamla Ravosha B'Alma Doraisa. Hoda Asrinan B'Chol Yisurin Mishanosnu Tam Beheter. An Isik is Tam into a Heter. We call that in our language Tam Ki Ikar, which is a fundamental principle we've been discussing at length this whole year. Ta'am ki ikar means that the same way as I can't eat the ikar of pig's meat, if there's a taste of pig, trace taste of pig in my soup, or whatever it may be, I may not eat that soup. Even though this is just purely liquid. Liquid pours like water. Has the taste of pig, it's prohibited. Says Rashi, Af al pi she'ein ochel mamish, kagon, sile ka yisr. Leave out pig, that's what we don't. Campbell's chicken soup. It's advertised all the time. So what do? They take a chicken, not the Empire chicken, take a Purdue chicken. And they cook it in water. You're left with a clear broth, a clear soup. And you decide, yeah, you know, you're hungry, you have to have Campbell's chicken soup. Assuming, that's a question, whether yesh shechit lof min haTorah or not, whether there can be a concept of nevela with respect to a chicken on the level of the rice, or not, assuming that it is, so the same way as the chicken, which was slaughtered, which was killed without a proper ritual slaughter, is an isa d'oraisa of nevela, so too the chicken soup is an isa d'oraisa of nevela. How do you know? Let's take a look. Conceal against her isa. Enken el atamo. D'oraisi! How do you know? The garmina mi bosa b'cholov. The asri rachmona b'achila. Kid amig minu lekamon av kuf tetzavim b'beis. V'lo sevashel shlosha p'amin. Harmura b'tora. V'yaf agav dechi misalek zemitov zeh. Liacha bishula. You remove the meat from the pot of milk. Ein kan elo hatam. There's only the taste of meat in the milk and milk in the meat. Uminei. From there we can derive. Garminan. L'chol yisurin b'mamatinu. Just like basa b'chola, by definition, is based upon tam ki'ikar, and it's obviously didn't arise, it's found in the Chumash. So too, with respect to nevela, trefa, you name it, tmeya, we would also apply the principle of what we call in our language tam ki'ikar, which is called over here in Gemara parlance, tamo v'lo mamosho. The expression tamo v'lo mamosho, which Abai refers to over here, tamo v'lo mamosho, it's found also another Mesechta, Mesechta Avodah Zara. Now, no one is expected to walk in every day with another Gemara yet, Avodah Zara. How much can you carry already? But if, for your information, the Gemaras towards the end of Avodah Zara are very, very crucial to understanding many areas that we'll be discussing here in Basa B'cholov and even more in Taruvis as we go. Just keep that in mind. If you have an extra Gemara Avodah Zara lying around your house, when you go home, bring it in, because we're going to be referring to it on numerous occasions. The expression Tam of Aloma Mosh was found in Avodah Zara as well. Fine. Says the Gemara Vayit. Disaka Daitach the Rabbanon. What are you going to tell me? It's the Rabbanon, Rashi. Bechol Shari Surin Tamo the Rabbanon he. The Logam Rinan Lahu. Mi Basa Bechalav. You cannot derive from Basa Bechalav. Says the Gemara as follows. Look very carefully here at Daf Kuf Ches Amar Alf. Okay? My time along Armina, why can't we derive from Basa B'cholov? The Chidushu. What does the Chidushu mean? Rashi explains. A very important Rashi. We'll see it's controversial. What's the Chidushu? The Shnei Min Heter. Zelevado v'zelevado. The meat is kosher, the milk is kosher. Ukshen is Arvu Nesru. When they got mixed together, they become poet. That's a Chidush Nifla. V'od, shederech bishul. What does it mean, derech bishul? In the manner of cooking. In the manner of cooking. Nesru, below achila. Hilkach, logarinan chumra minayim. It's unique. It's absolutely unique. Absolutely unique. Now, is it really unique? So Tosus says the Chiddushu, not so unique. Look at Masechta Pesachim Emdal. The Gemara says it's Kalayim. Kalayim is linen and wool and together. So what's the Chiddush? Says Tosus. And if you look on the, if you have the Oz V'Hod Gemara on the side, it says it's Magirus and Rashi that way as well, which would obviate Tosus' question. Gemara is found elsewhere Pesachim and Nazir. What does it say? The Taru Kule Yoma B'Chalba Shari. What does that mean? If you took a piece of meat and soaked it an entire day, let's take the word entire day advisedly, 24 hours. That's called kovush kimavusho. 24 hours of meat soaking in milk will create a transference of taste from one to the other. And therefore, if it's only discussing transference of taste, we should suggest that it should be, in fact, prohibited by Torah law. But no, but it's not true. Shari by Torah law. Afal gav she nivla hachala v'basar. Afal pishut sonim. Because it's cold, it gets in 24 hours. The pishut solu. V'abasar shoa v'socho. Right? So even though there's taste in 24 hours of soaking, it's still permissible. Yet, v'chi bashal ei asur. If there's taste which comes through cooking, it's prohibited. That's a chiddush. not merely the chiddush that you have A is mutter, B is mutter, put them together, it's awesome. That's one thing. That's you find that by kelayim as well. The bigger chiddush is the same A and B. You put them together through soaking, it's permissible. You put them together through cooking, it's prohibited. That's a chiddush. And we have a general rule. A chiddush breaks the rules, and you, therefore you cannot derive from it, and then what we call a mamatzinu, to other areas of halacha. So the ability to derive from basar b'chalav to other isurim, such as nevela, treifa, tmeya, is not going to work. So the Gemara is over here, on daf kuf ches, omen aleph, look carefully now, look carefully. I chiddushu, afal gav, deleko, no sein, tam, nami. Rashi explains what this means. I chiddush, read the Rashi very carefully. Amai katan imas nisin. Be'inan tamo. The Mishnah says in the Anav Kuf Chesem Nalaf. Im yesha ben no sein tam, it's asur. What does that mean, no sein tam? That means meat gives taste into the milk and vice versa. Rabbi Osef, for my curiosity, how many of you know, what is the presumed percentage that one item has to comprise in another in order to be noticeable by taste? Anybody know? More than 1/60th, correct. We presume if it's more than 1/60th, you can taste it, unless you cannot taste it. So we'll see later the details, but that's a presumption, generally speaking, going forward. Let's go on. Bolonos and tam nami osur. Even if the percentage of meat in the milk is less than 1%, you can't taste it. Let it be osur anyway. The chidush chodesh berachmana. Vafilu koldu, even if in a trace. The basa b'cholavu. You don't taste it, but it's there. Elish mamino. Lav chidusha. Da hochi kabad rachmana dumi de klai akerem. The mitzri nami mishim klai tarovis. The cave and lav chidushu. Garmin and lay. Mizroa bishela. The mystery kol kama de lekataima. So if it's less than 1/60th, which is Mizroa bishela, we'll get to that sugar later on. It's mutter, otherwise it's asr. Says Omele Rava, no. Derech bishel asra Torah. Rashi. Lo nemaloch. Chiddushu, it is a chiddush, and you cannot derive. Udeka amris afal gav the lekatama litzer. Oh, what is a chiddush? Let's say that even if you're that one drop of meat falls into a huge pot of milk or vice versa, that'd be awesome. Anyway, no, why not? The leka lemigmere mitzra b'sheila al kocha begufe galikra the bina tama miwai. With lo asraso el derech bishul, she aser abosal is bashul becholov, ve'ein lo chakagon zush lo yitein tam. For Rabosai, as we shall see, the very definition of bishul of cooking is tarovis tamim. That the tamim get mixed up into one another. That's what happens when you cook something. When you cook something, two items get mixed into one another. It's obvious. You put a tea bag and a cup of tea, so the flavor of the tea gets mixed into the water. It tastes like tea. That's clear. That's the definition of bishul. So therefore, if it's so little that you can't even taste it, it's not considered to be derech bishul. It's not considered to be derech bishul. There's no isra achil either. So you see clearly in the Gemara, clearly black on white, that although the three isurim are derived from three separate psukim, lo sevashal three times, they are interconnected. If it's not derech bishul, there's no violation of the savashal, literally, you shouldn't cook. There's no violation on the Torah level of achila either, because it's not derech bishul as a Torah. Anybody with me so far? You can see what I'm saying? You see, klar, this is a very fundamental gemara. And speaking of fundamentals, I ask you to see one more line in this gemara, just to give you a little bit of a glossary of terms. Omer Rav, Kevin shenosan tam b'chaticha, Chaticha atzmo nases nevela, the oseres kol chatichas kulam ebnei shein mina. That's, can you imagine that? Two little lines tucked away, and av kuf ches omen alf. Half the mesechta hangs on these two lines. I'm going to give you a little bit of a glossary of terms. And by the way, if someone's interested in glossary of terms in a literal sense, there are some other wonderful svarim you can take advantage of. Number one is a fairly new sefer called Shulchan Aruch Yerodeya Pichas Basa B'cholov Hamavur, put out by the Oz V'Hodor Juggernaut. Every week they put out a new sefer. So they have this, it's in the library as a copy, I have one at home. It's fantastic. glossary of terms at the very beginning, 20 pages, just terms. Then he put things in order with paragraphs and commas and periods. Those who have trouble getting to the sources, the main sources on the page itself, it's worth the money to invest in a Shulchan Aruch HaMavur Oz V'Hoda. It has every shach and every taz. We open the page so we'll see who they are. Explained and with more explanations and in the back of Biurim. It's a wonderful safer to make life easier. I believe in making life easier, not harder. I'm not one of those who thinks that you can't use the art scroll, you can't use the Masifta. You use everything. Whatever will enable you to understand the Torah Hashem, please feel free to use it. It's very, very important. Just give you the tip. This is a fairly recent. Has anyone ever seen it? You have? You own it? So this is one person besides myself who owns it. And it's something which is worthwhile having. Okay. I know you can't buy every safe. I know that. But the library has it. You can always look at the library. It's on reference in the library. So you can always look there if you want to see something which you don't fully understand on your own. Good. So one of the critical terms in the glossary is precisely this. Chaticha atzma nases neve. What does that mean? Yes? You're asking a question. The answer is yes. And precisely how it's tied is going to be the fundamental and major dispute amongst the Rishonim. How close is the Yisr HaNoah is tied to the other two? Is it more tied to Bishlam? Is it more tied to Achila? We shall get to that in Mitzvah Shem as we go, for reasons which we'll see fairly shortly. Very good question. In any event, Rabbi Osai, Chaticha Atzma Nasas Nevela means you shouldn't think that if I have meat which has a milky taste in it, what's prohibited is the milky taste. That's prohibited. But the meat itself is not intrinsically prohibited. The meat is prohibited only because, in point of fact, the meat contains within the milk. The milk is prohibited. But the meat itself is not prohibited, says Rav, no. Chaticha atzma nasas nevela, this meat which absorbed milk, the meat itself is an intrinsic prohibition. My nafkamina, what's the difference? We'll get to it later on, how you calculate bitla b'shishim. Must you be mevatel? Let's say the milk fell into meat, and the percentage of the milk and the meat is 2%. And now the whole meat, piece of meat, fell into a whole pile, a large pile of water, and all just plain water. Is it enough to be mevatel the amount of milk that was absorbed in the meat? As long as that batel b'shishim, it's good enough. Oh no, oh no. That's the mevatel, the entire piece of meat. You need 60 times the volume of the entire piece of meat in order to be mevatel, it should be batel b'shishim. So we pass in halacha, chaticha, atzma nasas nevela. You have to calculate the entire volume of the piece of meat in order to be mevatel et b'shishim. That's nafkamina number one. Nafkamina, that's for us, halacha l'maisa. Nafkamina number two is with the Gemara's nafkamina, the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. The Tanna Rabbi Yehuda holds that min b'mino lo botel. Rashi explains. Rav Samek Rabbi Yehuda, min b'mino lo botel. Not in a million. Never botel. So even though the source of the prohibition of this piece of meat was milk, and milk was a different type, species, than the rest of the meat, doesn't make a difference. The meat itself, which absorbed milk, became an intrinsic prohibition. So the meat is prohibited. Meat, the meat, mimimino, is never butler according to the opinion of Rav, who follows the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. According to almost all authorities, la'alocha l'maisa, we don't paskin like Rabbi Yehuda or like Rabbi Yehuda or like Rav. Now Rashi disagrees, as a Rashi later passes like Rav and Rabbi Yehuda, but most poskim do not accept that. So therefore, the second nafkamina of Mishnah Gemara is over here is not that relevant. The nafkamina of calculation for bitul b'shishim is extraordinarily relevant. We do in fact pass in chaticha atzmanas nevela when it comes to basa b'cholov. Of a furish Gemara over here on daf kufches amanav. There is a unique opinion of the Ravid. You heard it before. The Ravid is in the room also. The Ravid says that chaticha nas nevela only applies according to Tana Rabbi Yehuda. We don't pass like him. But we don't follow that Ravid. We all that it's found in Shulchan Aruch. Chaticha nas nevela when it comes to basa b'cholov. Once we're on the topic, What about chaticha nas and available? What we call in our language bishari surim. What does that mean? I'll give you a simple case. You have kosher and non-kosher food, and the kosher food gets non-kosher gets mixed into kosher. 2%. They have a mixture. It's 2% non-kosher. What's the halacha? Can I eat that?
No.
Not a way. No way. That about the b'shishin. Okay, so I had 2 units of real treif, whatever it was, nevela, treif, or tmeya, and another 98 units of kosher. Truth of the matter is I cannot eat any of these 100 units because each one of them is suffused with a presumably equally spreading tam of the non-kosher, so you can taste it everywhere. So all 100 units, right, the original 2 and the additional 98 became prohibited. Everyone with me so far? Good, prohibited, possibly prohibited. Guess what? That whole 100 got mixed in to 50 times its volume. 5,000 units. What's it then? Can we partake of this 5,000 units? Yes or no? Who knows the answer? Raise your hand. That's the best answer they always give. Machlokas Rishon. That's correct. The Machlokas Rabbeinu Ephraim. We'll get to this later, but just give you a glossary of terms. Rabbeinu Ephraim and Rabbeinu Tam. What does that mean? According to Rabbeinu Ephraim, how can you say it's prohibited? I started off with 2 units of tarfus, of non-kosher, and now I have 5,000. It's 2,500 times its volume. How can you say it's not bottle? You're being crazy. Says Rabbeinu Tam, it's osur. Why? Chaticha nas as nevela. When the 2 fell into 98, all 98 plus 2 became 1 piece of nevela. And now you have 100 units. They fell into 5,000 units. It's not bottle b'shishim. It's only five. It's 50 times, not 60 times. Rabbeinu Tam, therefore, to make it clear, extends the principle of chaticha atanasim, which is found in the Gemara only with respect to basal b'chalav. He extends it to what we call in our language shari surim. Rabbeinu Ephraim says absolutely not. Absolutely not. We will get to it later on. But as we find many, many areas in this year's learning, there's a machlokas lahalacha between the Mechaber and the Ramah. Rav Yosef Karo on the one hand, and the Ramah, Rav Moshe Israel's on the other hand. The Mechaber passed like Rabbeinu Ephraim, in Simon Sani Beis. They don't say chaticha nas tevel b'shari surin, only by Basel B'cholof. And Ramah follows Rabbeinu Tam, as he usually does. Any Sfarim in the room? Oh, we have a whole clutch, Baruch Hashem. You have to follow different. You should, when you come to your bottom line, you have to consult with your Chachamim. We're going to be learning the Yoredeya primarily with the conclusions of the Ramah. When Maran Bet Yosef argues, you have to find out whether Chachmei Hador of today, Rabbi Avadja, others, are going with Maran Bet Yosef, or sometimes they don't. Cool on the Chumra. Sometimes they've adopted certain Ashkenazi practice, so I'm told. So I can't speak to that, because that's really a function of your particular community. Rabbi, stay with me so far. If you have any questions, now's a good time to raise your hand. Feel free. Yes, sir.
Is the Chiddush of Tesis the second Chiddush of Rashi? Or
could be. Oh, they're different gear souls from Rashi. I'm not going to go into that right now. Any questions? Huh? It's good. It's clear. It's good. Yes, sir.
With the 2% and the 98% this, was the reason why the 98 became usher because of the tam?
Correct.
Okay.
Correct. Tam ki ikar. And we presume.
If they didn't have tam, it would be fine.
Right. Okay. We presume that tam ki ikar is the oraisa, although that's also a big dispute. The Gemara Kuf Ches assumed it, but obviously it seems to be a dispute whether it's really true or. Or not? It's not so completely clear. Right? Rava, take a look at Tosis. Omar Rava, the Mishnah of Torah, Dichuya bi'almahi, and you cannot derive Tam Ki'ikar from, or they call it Tam of Alama Masho, from Basa B'cholov. The Mehocha Leka Lemelev. Abo Tam Ki'ikar, here's the famous words, Tam Ki'ikar, Habidor Raisa, could appear Peregiranoshe, back on Tzadiches. Tosis passes that Tam Ki'ikar, in fact, is Doraisa. The word Bekuntris is a mistake. It was taken out. Rashi seems to pass that's not the Raisa. Anyway, just give you a general background. Are both everyone with me so far? Yes?
Why did Rashi give two different explanations of the Chiddush?
Good question. It seems to me that the second explanation is the better one, as Tosis would have it. Rashi gave the first explanation, which is the more elementary one, except the problem is the Gemara and Pesachim seem to have rejected it based upon Kilayim. So Rashi, the ultimate pedagogue, gave the simple reason, then he gave the real reason.
No problem that the Gemara says that straight out.
Very often Rashi likes to give us Pashup Shot, even if the Gemara rejects it for some technical reason elsewhere. Fine. I don't want to make more than that right now, this Rashi. Fine. So now you have to understand, Rabbi Osai, Derech Bishul Ostra Torah. It behooves us to define Bishul. Rabbi Osai, who was going to volunteer to tell me where in Halacha, before we ever came into this year, before we ever thought about Basel B'cholov, is Bishul a very significant halachic phenomenon which you have to analyze very carefully? Rabbi Osai, raise your hand. Where?
Shabbos.
Shabbos. Every single Shabbos, we have to avoid the violation of Bishul. One of the Lamed Tes Melachos, perhaps the most complex of the I shouldn't say that. Well, a very complex and very practical issue of Hilchos Shabbos is Bishul. People spend a lot of time on Bishul and Hilchos Shabbos. And many of the terms which are used in Hilchos Shabbos are relevant to Hilchos Basar B'cholov as well. We will discuss as we go, are these two to be compared, Bishul and Shabbos and Bishul and Basar B'cholov, or are they to be contrasted? This is a major, major dispute. So our initial foray into this is one more Gemara, Rabbi Osai, on Daf Kuf Dalet Amud Beis. Kuf Dalet Amud Beis. The Gemara says in Kuf Dalet Amud Beis in the sixth line, Abal Hocha, Isharis de la suke of ugvina. If you may put chicken and cheese on the same table, what are we afraid about? What are we afraid about? Osi la suke basar ugvina. You're going to put not just chicken and cheese, which is the rabbana, as we saw before. Not everyone agrees to that psak, but we saw that Rabbi Akiva Shita. Okay? And if you have rabosai chalila v'chalila, Basa, which means red meat, ugvina, umechel basa b'chol v'daraisa. Oy, oy, oy. If you'll have meat and milk on the table at the same time, next thing you know, it'll be over in the daraisa. Frank the Gemara. Maskif l'rav sheshes. Sof, sof. Tzonein b'tzoneinu. It's cold. Rabosai, is it considered derech bishul if it's cold? No way. The Gemara said derech bishul asra Torah. It's not going to be, why can't I put a piece of American cheese, a slice of American cheese, and a slice of salami, put them right next to each other? Worst case scenario, I'll make a sandwich, have them both together. No, these are no rice, there's no bishul. Psh, a great kash. Answer to Gemara. Answer to Gemara. Amar Abaye, Gzeira Shema Yale Be'ilfis Roseach. What does that mean? What does that mean? I'll have some hot stuff, and I'll put the cheese and the salami and together when it's hot. Frank de Gemara. Sof klisheniu, u klisheni eino mevasha. Rabbi Osi, you've all learned this in Hilchos Shabbos, I hope a little bit. This is coming straight out of Hilchos Shabbos. Klisheni eina mevashel. So our Gemara is saying if it's not mevashel in Hilchos Shabbos, it's not mevashel in Hilchos Basar B'cholov either. Either. Answer to Gemara, you're right. Hello. Gzeira shema yala be'ilfis rishon. It's a gzeira because of kli rishon. See from this Gemara, both said that the only time we're violating lo sevashel gadiba chalevimo, and there are the resultant Isurim of Achila and Hana is if there was a formal Bishul which would pass muster in Hilchos Shabbos. Kli Rishon. Who wants to define a Kli Rishon? Please, a brief definition of Kli Rishon. Yes, you know what? What does it mean?
The actual puppet was cooked.
the pot that it was cooked in, the pot which is or was on the fire. That's a kli rishon, as opposed to a pot into which you pour from that. That's called a kli sheni, and that's kli shlishi. It goes on and on. We'll get to that discussion a little bit later as we go as well. Rabosa, everyone with me so far? Any questions? Now is the time to raise your hand. Yes, sir.
How could you have a ilfus rotat and it not be a kli rishon?
That's a good question. My understanding is that the Gemara, in its initial thought process, assumed that on the table, you're not going to have a pan which is on the fire. They didn't do those things. So it presumably transferred it into a very hot pan, which was never on the fire. It's still very hot from the residual heat, from the meat or the cheese or the, whatever it was, which was put on the fire, taken off a kli rishon. That's why I answered the Gemara's havali. Rabosai, everyone with me so far? If you have a question, raise your hand. Now, ask. Lo abay shalomim. Okay. Now, I have to ask you. How many Talmidim in the room right now have a Yoredei in front of them? You do raise your hand. Okay. I want to learn some Yoredei just to get you warmed up, but I'm not. I'll wait till tomorrow. Tomorrow, everyone will have a Yoredei. What? Stop. Does everyone have a Gemara? Who does not have a Gemara? Okay, you have to buy one. Okay. So by tomorrow morning, I expect everyone to be here at 9 o'clock in the morning with a Gemara and Yoredei. When do you open up for business?
Tonight, 7 to 11.
And then, so not tomorrow.
Every night, yeah.
So you have to get there between 7 and 11. If you can't be there, send the shaliach with a requisite amount of money. You would have how much it costs to buy a Gemara or Yoredei. Everyone should be prepared tomorrow for these svarim. And tomorrow, I expect to learn both. The Gemara and the Shulchan Aruch. But for today, since I want to be text-based and always be close to the text as much as possible, we're going to forego what I wanted to do in terms of the Shulchan Aruch and continue in the Makaros in the Gemara proper. So I'd like to share with you, I'm going to go a little bit out of order from here on in, a word of Rabbeinu Gershom on the Kuf Ches Amud Beis. It's a very brief excerpt, but I think it packs a wallop. Rabbeinu Gershom and Kuf Ches Amud Beis uses the following expression. La'olam, I'm not going into what the Gemara is saying. Rabbeinu Gershom and La'olam, which is the second full paragraph, and Kuf Ches Amud Beis says, a person took a chatzizayis from meat, chatzizayis of milk, v'chozar u'bishlon pam achas, maybe it should be pam acheres, abishulo lo loki, dekvar mevusho, a'achi lo loki, diyochel kazayis iser. Woo! Rabbeinu Gershom is saying, a case where you can be over on Achila, but not over on Bishul. Why not over on Bishul? It was cooked already. What is the phrase that we use in the Hebrew language, four words, in Hilchos Shabbos, to describe the fact that once something is cooked, it's not cooked again? What's it called? Everybody knows. Hey, good thing you know. Ein Bishul Achar Bishul. What Rabbeinu Gershom seems to be saying over here to us is that the principle of, by the way, those words don't appear in Shas to my knowledge. Ein bishul achar bishul, that concept that we know in Hilchos Shabbos, applies to basar b'cholov as well. And if the basar and the cholov had already been cooked with one another, and you now cook it a second time, he seems to be telling us you're not in violation of los sevashu gedi b'chalev imo. What's implicit in the Rabbeinu Gershom is that if the meat was cooked separately, and the milk was cooked separately, and now you cook them both together, that you would be in violation of los sevashel gedi b'chalevim. Why? You're not cooking them together for the very first time in history. But if they were cooked together already, then the second time you cook them together, the Rabbeinu Gershom seems to be telling us you would not be in violation of los sevashel gedi b'chalev imo. So says Rabbeinu Gershom, a very, very important comment here in the Rabbeinu Gershom. Fine. So we've learned already two things. One, we've learned that Kli Sheni, which is not Mevashel and Shabbos, would not create Bishul Basar B'chol of Doraisa. And number two, from Rabbeinu Gershom, we learned that Ein Bishul Achar Bishul, Another famous rule of Shabbos also applies to Basa B'Cholav. There'd be no Malkus and Bishul if it already had been cooked together, the meat and the milk. So far, so good? Yes, Ben.
So it seems like Bishul, according to this whole thing, is that a transfer, as we're saying, a transfer of time.
Correct.
Right? So if you just, let's say on Shabbos, if you have two separate pots, they're both very, very hot, and they're hot enough to cook. If you put them together, therefore their taste transfer, is that considered cooking on Shabbos?
Very likely not. Because on Shabbos is a violation of cooking food. You cook this food, you cook this food. The fact that they taste merged is not a violation. When it comes to meat and milk, so the nature of the violation is cooking them together. So that obviously would be a violation. Yes, sir?
You said that the achila is connected to the bishul. There's some portion that if you eat it, if you didn't cook them, in this case, for example, you take them to different pots after it's already been cooked and you eat it, we know you can mark this in the bishul, the imbish, racha bishul, but would you still be punished for the achila?
If you have cooked meat and cooked milk and you put them together for the first time, you're in violation of Bishul Basar B'Cholav. If you sit down to eat it, you'd be in violation of Achilas, the Basar B'Cholav, which you just cooked.
What if you did the Achilas without the Bishul? What if you just ate it, just did the Achilas?
What do you mean, you eat meat separately and milk separately?
You eat the meat and dairy concoction that was now cooked?
So you were already over on Bishul.
But you didn't cook it.
Oh, good question. Can I be in violation of eating Basar B'Cholav if I myself didn't cook it? What do you think, Abosai? You better believe it. If someone else cooked it and I eat it, I'm in violation. I go further than that. You want to be so literal? Lo savashal gadiba chalev imo. The Gemara discusses, what if I cook the goat in somebody else's milk, not its own mother's milk? What do you say about that? Who thinks you're not over? Hashem, you're smarter than that. Imo is laughed out. The Gemara discusses this at great length. How do you know it's not only imo, chosav, also you see any basar and any cholav, and not even necessarily gedi. Gedi is him as goats. Gedi is any mammal, suckling. That's the idea of basar b'cholav, cholav imo. Rabosai, we now have to discuss the following question: how do you define cooking? Yes, we already said ein bishul lacha bishul kol nirabei negeshem. Yes, we said ein bishul b'klisheni. But there are many ways in which we can use the word cook in its broadest sense. Heat up food and create a change of state in that food. Many, many ways it can be done. Who knows what I'm driving? I have any idea what I'm driving? Yes? Tzli. What is tzli, gentlemen? What is tzli?
Roasting,
right?
No water.
With no water. Where's the most famous place in the Torah where you have to have dafka tzli? Korban Pesach, everybody knows. Tzliyesh. It has to be roasted in fire. What'll happen if someone takes a piece of meat and a piece of cheese and hangs it over the fire? Hang it, hold, put a fork, put them together, hang it over a hot, hot fire. So there's a merger of taste in a heat medium. What's missing? What feature that we normally have in cooking is not here? Liquid. There's no liquid. It's all solid. Is that a violation of Bishul Basar B'Cholav ben HaTorah? Which would occasion a violation of Achilin HaNoam in HaTorah? Or should we say no? The Torah gave an example, Lo Savash Gdiba Chalev Imo, and the milk. You need a liquid to cause this violation. Here it's a tzli, there's no liquid. Perhaps it should not be a Torah violation. Anybody? Yes? Here we go again. Very good. Where are the machlokas? Where? You don't know where. It's not so simple. What did you say?
Mind.
You say something?
Someone said kibbutz.
Okay.
The definition of bishul.
Okay. How do you define bishul? So since we have no shulchan aruch now, let me ask you to turn to the Rosh which is the last of the Makaros here, but we're going to go a little out of order, because it's going to be helpful to us to see some of these definitions. I hope you all have a Gemara. Tomorrow I'm going to have all the Mefarshim in the back. You have to have a Rush. You have to also have a Ran. I planned Medavka to show you the Rush in the last few minutes of Shir, show you a Rush, show you a Ran, just to demonstrate that these Mefarshim exist in the back. You have to be able to... Okay, let's take a look at the Rush. Simen Nun Aleph. I didn't write the Perek. It means it's 8th Perek. That's the Perek that all these Gemaras are on. They're all in the 8th Perek of, except for one, in the 8th Perek of Chulin. Okay, Simen Nun Aleph. I have the new Rush and the old Zmarot Gemaras. Quotes the Mishnah we already had seen. And there is a discussion, okay, which I'd like to have with you in the Divrei Chamudos, was a super commentary on the Rush, Sifkotin, Reish Mem. Take it from the top. Kosav HaRambam, Perek Tes, you got the Rosh HaTemes, you got to be good in Rosh HaTemes is here. Mehilchus Macholos Asurus, Mem Hei Mem Alf. HaMe'ushan, what's Me'ushan mean? Smoked. HaMe'vushal B'chamei Tveria, what does Chamei Tveria, what does that mean? Hot springs. V'chayotze Behen, Ein Lokin Olof. Rabosai, in Hilchot Shabbos, some of you may have learned Perakira. If someone is Mavashal V'chamei Tveria, what's it in? Is it Isa Daraisa, yes or no? The Machlok is Tanoim. But if it's assuming that it's what's called Toldos Chama, comes from the sun, would not be a Torah violation. Me'ushan, we'll get to later in Hilchot Shabbos. Okay. Rabosai, this is a very, very important, quote the entire Rambam. I'm not going to the entire Rambam right now. But the Rambam is telling us and it depends to some extent on how you actually prepare it. If it's Me'ushan, if it's Chametz Verya, Ein Lokan Olof. Apparently it's not the proper way of preparing it. Even though you're using a heat source. Hot springs of Tveria or Me'ushan, hot smoke. Doesn't matter. It's not, do not violate Lo Sivash Gadi B'Chalei Vimo. Okay? One of them, Chametz Verya, applies to Hilchot Shabbos. If you look a little bit further in the Divrei Chamudos, he says, "Mevushal b'chamei tver, mevushal b'kosav ha-magid, the Magid Mishnah, shamevushan hu baya b'rishami perek hanodem en ha-mevushal, v'lo ivshita." It's an unresolved question. Mevushan b'asav b'cholav, u'sveke d'oraisa l'chumra, u'mevushal b'chamei tverya, nirasham shu shavu l'mevushan, u'legavei Shabbos, ha-mevashal b'chamei tverya, is potter. So he quotes the Magen Mishnah. There's some kind of derivation from Hilchos Shabbos to Hilchos Basa B'chol. Everyone with me so far? You got it? You with me? Oh. Now, just in order to show you the next 5 minutes or so, I want to show you two more sources, just very quickly. One is in the Ran that I asked you to see. The Ran, Rabosai, it depends which kind of Gemara you have. See the Mem Gimel Amud Aleph in the old print, or Kuf Chav Vav in the new print. We're going to be only one line. In the Ran. Two lines. The Ran is on the bottom of the Rif. It says Rabbeinu Nissim on top of the page. In our edition, the one I have in front of me, Kuf Chavov, I asked you to see Dibra Maschel, Avol. I'm going to read you a brief excerpt from the second line of column 2 on page Kuf Chavov. If you have the old Gemara, I'm giving it out somewhere in the middle of the Maskel tonight, towards the end, further, close to the end to the beginning. Line 2, word 4 of column 2 in our edition. V'chein ma she'evi'u raya sli. What's sli? The discussion over here, do you apply chaticha nasa nevela to other isurim? Nearly. V'keima the chaticha atzma nasa nevela mi boso b'cholav lomadnu. If you apply it to other Yisroel, Mr. Rav Mbosa B'cholov, Kemo Shafar Shafinei B'siyada D'shmai, Ein Orim Kein, Eladumya D'Bosa B'cholov, Derech Bishul, V'ein B'Bosa B'cholov, Klipa Minatora. What do you mean Klipa? What does Klipa mean? Who ever heard of the word Kedei Klipa? What is the word Klipa? What is the little translation of Klipa? What?
Shell.
Shell or peel. When it's dry heat, as opposed to wet heat, there's a very small ability of one object impact upon another, either kedei netila, which is the size of a finger, or kedei klipa, the smallest possible peel, really very tiny sliver. So the Ran is saying a chiddush. When it comes to basa b'chalav, you can never imagine a kedei klipa. You know why? Because you're always dealing in liquid, and liquids mevashel, we call it bikulo, straight through and through. This is the Ran's line. From this line, the Ran, the Achronim derive that the Ran holds her bosai at sli is not considered to be derech bishul. Because if sli would be derech bishul, then what are you telling me? There's no kedei klipa basa b'chalav b'daraisa. No. You put meat in their milk, one impacts on the other, at least a kedei klipa. It's a din daraisa, why not? The answer is, the Ran seems to be of the opinion, that sli is not considered to be derech bishul asra toro. You need a liquid, Rabosai. Now for my final point of the day. What exists halfway between cooking, which is absolutely filled with liquid, a whole pot full, and roasting on the fire with absolutely no liquid whatsoever? What's in between?
Steaming.
Let's come again.
Steaming.
Steaming. Maybe. Motion's a little bit in between. We have paper. What else?
Smoking
a little. Let's say with steaming. Kovish?
That's
no.
Frying.
A frying pan. I assume most people in this room don't enter into the kitchen too much. I include myself in that majority. I'm a presumptive majority. When you fry, you don't fill a pot with water. You don't call it a frying pot. You call it a frying pan. And what's in the bottom of the pan? What do you put in there besides the fish you want to fry or the
oil?
There's some oil there. It's a little liquid. They have these new Teflons. I'm not going into that right now. But traditionally, oil, that's called tigre. Please turn to the last Maharam Shif in the Masechta. Well, this will conclude the Shia today. The Maharam Shif is found after the Maharsha, which we didn't get to today, after the Yad of the first, I'm assuming. Where is it? Whoops, I can't find Maharam Shif here. Where is it? Here it is. I'm sorry, in this edition it's with the Maharsha together. I was unaware of that. In this Oz V'Hadar, they put the Maharam Shif on the bottom of the Maharsha. He tells an actual story. An actual story in the Maharam Shif, the very, very end. You'll see it. It's in this edition. It's page Kuf Mem Beis of our edition. The last line on the first column. Odos Kovei Shal Avas Miptumos Sherotzu L'Tagen B'Shuman Avas. They wanted to fry it in duck fat. V'Nischale V'Tignu B'Mat Chem. Oy. They fried it in butter. Gewalt. They fried meat and butter. Yesh tzadei lahatir? What are you kidding? What's this? Is it a reformed Jewry here? That we matter meat that they fried in butter? What is going on over here? So I'm going to read you one line. The third line. The perikamina sanedrin avdalad. Gabi yesh eim lemikra. Ve'eima b'chalev imo u'masik. Olam ravacha b'reder avika. Makro lo sevashel v'chulei. Derech bishul asra Torah. Pirush Rashi, cholav tzolulu kemayim. Milk pours like water. Abel chalev, fat. Tigun hu, Rabosai. He's saying, tigun is not bishul. And derech tigun would not be chayov. Wow. A chiddush nifla here in the words of the Maharam Shif. I'm asking you a question, Rabosai. If you hold that Tigun is not Chayov, what would he say by Tzli? I have a vote. We'll end with a vote. Democracy. Okay, he's assuming that Tigun, which is frying with butter, is not Chayov. And obviously, if it's milk, it's Chayov. If it's in Tigun, a little bit of butter, it's not Chayov. What does the Maharam Shif, and those who hold like him with respect to Tigun, what do they say with respect to Tzli, which is absolutely no liquid whatsoever? Who votes that you certainly should be not chayev? Who votes that you are chayev? Nobody. That means it's time to end. I'm saved by the bell. We'll stop here. Tomorrow, on Monday, we'll see this week that there are some who say, believe it or not, you're potter in tigun and chayev in tzli. That sounds to be completely counterintuitive. Tune in mitzvah the upcoming shiur. Okay. You have mincha downstairs starts at 2:33. You have 2 minutes to get downstairs.